ask you to remember August 24, 25, and 26, the NAME conference that we have scheduled at the campground, and Native American Ministries and Evangelism, and certainly we will celebrate what the Lord has done. Amen. And everyone come together to celebrate. Doesn't matter what your ethnic background is, your background is in the Lord. We're going to celebrate together. Praise God. And we're going to trust that God's going to do His work in every heart and every life so that they can know too how good God is, how powerful He is. Amen. Hallelujah. And understand the Filipino Ministries Director is going to be there as well. So you're going to have somebody to speak Tagalog to again. Praise God. Amen. Mabuti. Psalm 119, 41. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Anybody know how many verses are in it? 176. My goodness. That's a long chapter, all right. Psalm 119, and we're looking at verse 41, one of the shortest verses in that chapter. Verse 41, let's read together. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. I think that's an excellent prayer. I think that's a wonderful reality. I think that's a tremendous experience that we can have in the Lord. His mercies, His salvation, according to His word. And that's the confidence that we can have that His word will be fulfilled. The scripture says there has not failed one word of all of His good promise. And I'm thankful that's where we stand today on the promise of the word of God. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. When we consider the last phrase there in that short verse, according to thy word, I think we understand how solid that is, how a firm foundation the word of God is. And I'm glad that we know that power. The Lord said, let there be light. The first of His commands in the Word of God. Actually, you look at the creation story, and 10 times the phrase, God said, is in that passage. 10 times the Lord gave the command, God said. Those are 10 commandments that have never been broken. They still continue on. Creation goes on as God commanded. What we call the Ten Commandments from Exodus 20 have never been kept. That's a dilemma, huh? What the Lord tells us to do, we have difficulty doing. And in our humanity, we fail. But I'm thankful the power of God is able to come into our lives, into our hearts in such a manner, in such an experience that we've never had anywhere else. And the Lord lifts us up so that we can continue in our walk with God. His creative powers are still available today. When King David prayed, create in me a clean heart. I don't know if he had in his mind all the way back to the beginning, but I know he was pleading for God to make a difference inside, for God to change him, for God to create in him what he had a problem with. A clean heart. And I'm thankful that the power of God is able to come forth. The Bible tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Notice twice in that verse, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, new is mentioned twice. Because that's what God desires to do. He wants to make us new again. And He is faithful to His word. The word of God will come to pass. It will happen and it will take place. In fact, we read according to thy word. That occurs 8 times in Psalm 119. 8 times it is there in the word of the Lord, according to thy word. That's the confidence you can have in God. That's the assurance that you can know God is not going to fail in his word. He's not going to let you down. Thank the Lord, there is the fulfillment of his eternal word. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, writers of the gospel, all wrote this phrase, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And I'm thankful that assurance is there again in every writer. Peter's words about the word of God, 1 Peter 1 and 23, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I'm thankful it's a living word. There are documents that we treasure in our past. There are documents that we look back on that has affected the history of man and how society functions and all of the different aspects that are there. And I'm thankful that we can look at the Word of God and know that document is important and it is alive today. The Word of God is alive and powerful and able to change our hearts in our lives as well, and the blessings of God that are there. Truth and salvation are what Jesus came to declare. He said it in many times in the I am statements that we find in the book of John. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those phrases there alone can help us to understand how powerful the Lord can make an impact in our lives. He said, thy word is truth. And I'm thankful that we know the word of God is that able, that ability to bring truth into our lives. He made a statement that the Jews took a little bit of exception to. John 8 and 32, he declared, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Immediately, they kind of backed up and said, we're Abraham's seed. We belong to Abraham. We've never been in bondage. We've never been in the place where we've had servitude to something else. So what did the Lord mean when he said, it shall make you free? The truth shall make you free. We read in the context of John chapter 8, and we realize he was talking about the hardship of sin. He was talking about that which attacks us daily. He was talking about that which we have a tendency toward even from our birth. But I'm thankful the Lord gives us overcoming power and strength to be able to move into the realms where his word will be fulfilled in our lives again and again. And I'm thankful that even when we stumble, even when we fall, even when there's difficulty we encounter in our lives, the Lord helps us to rise up again, praise God, and in his resurrection power, be able to move forward in the blessings that he provides for us. When the Lord said, you must be born again. The man he was speaking to, though he was a ruler of the Jews, though he was familiar with Scripture, though he knew all that would be in the Old Testament, he couldn't grasp it. He couldn't process it. What do you mean, born again? Can a man who is old enter again into his mother's womb? He was totally thinking about the natural, but the Lord was challenging to step into the realm of the spiritual and know the power of God that would be there in a new birth. And I'm thankful that that experience occurred on the day of Pentecost when sinners recognized truth. And that truth being fulfilled in their lives brought a new birth, born of the water and born of the Spirit. I'm thankful that the incorruptible Word of God is how we can receive that experience. The waters of baptism in the precious name of Jesus Christ remits every sin. The power of the Spirit of God indwelling our hearts and in our lives, praise God. And the sign of speaking in other tongues. You know, it's interesting to me how a spiritual work could have such a concrete foundation in our experience. We get in the waters, we go down dry and come up wet, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've been baptized, praise God, and nobody can talk me out of it. And when we experience the infilling of the Spirit of God and we speak in a language that we didn't understand, supernaturally, God is letting you know that His Spirit has come within you. Praise God. And that powerful experience continues on as we pray, as we worship, as we exalt the Lord. I'm thankful it's according to His Word. I think about Mary, a young, possibly teenager. Most historians, scholars, theologians would think she was just a teenager when the angel appeared to her and told her she was going to give birth to a son. And her response, I think, is beautiful. Her response was, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Oh, that we can always have that response in our lives when we see what the Word of God says, when we know the truth is there, when we can recognize how God deals in our hearts, and we say, "According to thy word, Lord, be it unto me." Praise God. When the Lord was 12 years old in the temple with the Hebrew authorities, hearing them and asking them questions, the people were astonished at his understanding and his answers and his knowledge. And when Jesus was 30 years old and began his miracles, Mary, who initially said, "Be it unto me according to thy word," now passes on that knowledge, passes on that wisdom, and tells the servants, "Whatsoever he saith to you, do it." Praise God. Don't argue, don't analyze, don't explain, don't come up with any options of your own. Do what he says. And then the miracle unfolded. Praise God. Oh, that God would help us to have the trust. God would help us to have the faith. God would help us to have the awareness that when we do what he says, it's going to happen. The miracles will be, the unbreakable will break as far as the chains of addictions, praise God, and habits and all the other things that might trouble us. And I'm thankful the power of the Lord is able to be displayed as we reach out to Him and know the power of the Lord. His mother was there at the tomb. The tears flowed, and there was heartache and there was heartbreak. But Mary was there at the empty tomb, praise God, and able to recognize her son was alive and the power of God being displayed. She obeyed the command to tarry in Jerusalem until power from on high came and inhabited them. And I'm thankful that she was there along with her other sons, waiting in that upper room with the total number of 120. And suddenly there came that sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Oh my, what an experience for that mother. What an experience for her to understand, "According to thy word, be it unto me." And she lived that principle. She followed through on that commitment. And God did a wonderful work. What was it like for her to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? What was it like for her to realize the power of His word was now being fulfilled in her life? Praise God. The Lord issued an invitation, and He opened it up to everybody. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And I'm sure it was open to every woman, every child, everybody. Everyone could have it. And the explanation that John gave in chapter 7 of his gospel, "This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." And I'm thankful that when we believe, praise God, according to His word, it came upon us just like His word declares. Thy salvation, thy mercies. I'm thankful that's what the psalmist was able to focus on. Salvation simply means rescue. I'm thankful that the Lord rescued His people time and time again from Adam and Eve in their fallen state in the garden. I'm thankful the Lord rescued them and continued that work of redemption. Israel out of Egypt, there was rescue. And the Hebrew definition of salvation would involve deliverance, His aid, His victory, the prosperity He desired to give, salvation that is so great. How good our God is, and His power and His blessing to bring forth salvation. In the Greek, it's rescue as well. It's safety, both physically and morally, spiritually. The Lord is able to step into that realm. And Acts 4 and 12 lets us know where salvation is located. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God for the name of Jesus Christ that is powerful, that the devils fear, that sin cannot remain unbroken, that the power of God is able to move in the realm and bring forth His so great salvation. It has to be so great because sin is so damaging. It's so far-reaching. It's so destructive that God had to move in miraculous ways to bring about so great salvation. And I'm thankful it did happen so that lives could be changed, so that hearts could be redeemed, so that blessings could come forth from the presence of the Lord. Even Peter, denying the Lord those three times, was the one who stood up with the 11 and preached the word of God because of God's salvation being so great, to make so great changes and to bring about His power and His blessing. We could go on and look in the scriptures. Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul because of so great salvation. A Roman centurion named Cornelius, he was changed, he was filled, he was baptized because of so great salvation. A Philippian jailer, baptized in the early hours of the morning with all of his house because of so great salvation. And not only is that salvation so great, but it's great because it keeps lives being changed. It's not a one-and-done experience. It's not something that just happens and you put a historical marker on it. It's something that continues all through your life, and it gets better, it gets stronger, it gets more complete, it becomes more full. Oh, thank God that we know His power and His goodness according to His word. Hallelujah. Now, wrath is part of God's judgment as well. But the scripture assures us, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'd much rather have salvation than the wrath of God. I'd much rather choose salvation than the wrath of God. If I choose to ignore that salvation, what have I done? I've set myself up for wrath. But if I grab a hold of the salvation of God, if I hold on to it with all of my heart, if I live with it with all of my life and all of my desire and all of my commitment, all of my ambition, everything I put as a focus on the salvation of God, I've exempted myself from the wrath. How much better? How much greater? How much more pleasant? How much more powerful? Praise God. A divine appointment with salvation? I don't want to miss it. Don't want to ignore it. Don't want to leave it out. And praise God, I'm thankful that the Lord kept knocking on my heart, kept knocking on my soul. Amen. And when I was 15 years old, the Lord helped me to come into a place of repentance and baptism, and then eventually receiving the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And I'm not sorry at all. Praise God. Jesus came and took my heavy load. Now I'm on the glory road, and I'm not sorry at all. Hallelujah. Thank God for that power and that blessing. According to thy word, includes hell and punishment, but it was not meant for you. Not at all. No, we know the scriptures tell us, Matthew 25 and 41, it's meant for the devil and his angels. But if I'm deceived by him, if I listen to his words, if I follow into his traps, if I'm taken in his trickery, and I ignore the salvation that God has for me. Oh my, what problems and what difficulties are going to come my way. No, I want my lifestyle and my choices to be according to His Word, not according to the devil's lies, the devil's deceit. I'm going to move into the realm of blessing for the Lord. Romans 6 and 23 gives two distinctions that are very strong. The wages of sin are death. Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, praise God. Look at those distinctions. Wages and gift. Death and life. Sin and God. Great distinctions just in that one verse. God help us to make the right choice, a clear choice. Amen. Not just one time, but throughout our lives. This is what I choose. This is what I desire. This is what I'm going to follow. Praise God. Not sin, not death. No, I'm going to follow after the Lord because of His mercy. His mercy reaches out to us. Amen. I'm thankful for the mercies that God extends to us and His blessing and His goodness. Moses had so many experiences that were powerful in his walk with God. We can consider his deliverance when he tried to bring about the deliverance of the people of Israel in his own thinking, his own might, when he took care of the taskmaster that was abusing one of his brethren, and the Lord delivered him out of that situation into a 40-year period in the backside of the desert where he learned to be a shepherd. Why did learning to be a shepherd become important? Because that's what he was when he was leading the people of Israel through the wilderness as the hand of God was displayed to him after that experience at the burning bush. Oh, what incredible mercy that the Lord extended to him. And his desire, show me thy glory. He'd already seen an incredible number of miracles, of provisions from God, of the blessings of the Lord that would be unexplainable. Water coming out of a rock, amazing. Manna appearing every morning on the ground. All of these experiences that he had with the Lord, but yet he desired even more. Show me your glory. I think the Lord delights in that kind of focus. That kind of desire. Lord, I want more from you. Lord, I need more from you. Praise God. And that's how Moses lived his life. Lord, show me your glory. The Lord said in Exodus 33 and 19, all my goodness will pass before thee. And I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll show mercy on whom will show mercy. Praise God. And then the Lord told Moses, there's a place by me. And I'm thankful the Lord opens up that door for us as well. There's a place by the Lord that we can experience Him in even greater measures than we've ever had before. And I'm thankful Moses was content to go to that place. He didn't argue with the Lord about it and say, that's not comfortable. That's not convenient. That's not going to fit my personality. No, he went ahead and did what God told him to do. And oh my, the glory, hallelujah, the power, the blessing. Later on, you know, the Moses heard God's voice many times. He experienced it in reality, the burning bush, the plagues, the Red Sea, the water supply, the manna, the quail, Mount Sinai, Ten Commandments, on and on. He heard the voice of God again and again. And then it's so significant in Numbers 7 and 89 that he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat. The mercy seat was an important piece of furniture in the tabernacle where the Jews met with God. The Hebrews called upon the Lord and had God minister to them. It was a piece of furniture probably twice the size of my podium here. And there was a surface where the priest would come and pour the blood upon what was called the mercy seat. Because in that chest was a copy of the Ten Commandments that Moses brought down from the mountain the second time. And it was there that the angels, the cherubims, standing on each end of that piece of furniture, looking down at the transgressions of man, at the disobedience of man, at the ignoring of the commandments of man, the breaking of those Ten Commandments. And that blood was sprinkled upon that surface as though to hide all of the transgressions and iniquities of man, and the eyes of God not able to see that, the symbolism that was there. It was there, the scripture said, Moses heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat. I'm thankful it wasn't just a piece of furniture overlaid with pure gold. It wasn't just two cherubims on each end facing each other, looking down at that surface. I'm thankful it was a reality of the presence of the Lord and the power of God and the blessings that would come and the hand of God that would be displayed as the blessings and the power of God in His mercy. Praise God. And it's amazing that we can read in the scripture again and again how His mercy endures to thousand generations. Thousands. We see it several times. We won't take the time to look exactly, but Deuteronomy 5 and 10, Deuteronomy 7 and 9, 1,000 generations are there again and again to see the hand of the Lord and the blessings that would be there. Oh, let Your mercies come to me, Lord. Praise God. I'm thankful the Lord is delighted to answer that prayer. We are redeemed from destruction. We are crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. And His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And that's what we are able to receive. It's significant that Psalm 136, each verse ends exactly the same way. Each verse, with its redundancy, with its repetition, is helping us to understand that His mercy is everlasting. Oh, I'm thankful that it endures forever. And that's what we know we can stand upon, those blessings that are there again and again. His mercies keep us from being consumed, the Bible says, and His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. If we were to look in the Hebrew definition of mercies, we would simply see kindness. In the Greek, we'd understand the guilt and power of sin is removed because of God's grace, so that the misery of sin and its consequences could be alleviated as we move into the realm of understanding God is rich in mercy. And that's what I rely upon again and again, His tremendous love. There are many who would want to identify with nature, and thank God for nature. The beauty, the wonder, the amazing examples of God's creative power. But there's no mercy in nature. No mercy in nature. You heard the alarm on your phone last night. Tsunami warning. That's nature. An avalanche that comes roaring down the mountain, destroying everything in its path, dragging trees down, and any snow machine or any skier, any snowboarder caught in its path. Just amazing power that can kill and destroy. They say the winds at the toe of the avalanche become so strong that the avalanche can end, the movement of the snow can end, but the wind that is generated will blow trees over, continuing in its path. No mercy. Earthquakes, we have them in Alaska a lot. No mercy. Hurricanes or typhoons, wildfires, the evidence of the wildfire out on the highway is still there, still showing us a danger of a wildfire. No mercy in nature. Thank God I find mercy at the feet of Jesus Christ. Thy mercies come also to me. Praise God. And I'm so thankful that we can put our trust in the Lord. Stop and think about it for a minute. Thy mercies come to me. I'm one of about 8 billion upon the face of the earth. And his mercies come to me? Incredible. Marvelous. Wonderful. And thank God we are the beneficiaries of it. The Bible tells us, Romans 2 and 4, that his goodness leads me to repentance. His goodness helps me to understand I don't need to live in a realm of sin and wrongdoing, iniquity, transgression, any of those aspects that are going to be damaging to me. And the wages of sin is death. I don't have to remain in that state. His mercies bring me into his goodness, into his power, into his blessing, into his provision. Praise God. All of the positive qualities of his love and his goodness, his forbearance, his long suffering, on and on. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful that I could know his power and his goodness. You see, we experience that mercy. We experience that salvation. And what a change it brings to our lives. Amen. That's a problem with society today. They want to experience it, but they want it to be like a carnival ride. Ooh, what a thrill. Ooh, what a good time. Now, what else can we do? No. Let's continue in the salvation of God. Amen. Because the blessings will continue. The provisions will continue. Praise God. The changes that God wants to bring to our lives will continue according to thy word. Remember, it's forever settled. And the mercy and salvation is not just so I could have a good day, but so that I could have a good forever. Forever. Amen. In his presence. And oh my, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. We taught in the Bible lesson this morning about discipline, the discipline of a disciple, someone who is a follower of the Lord, someone who's going to say like young Mary did, according to thy word be it unto me, praise God, and move into that realm of experiencing more and more of God's merciful salvation and how tremendous that is. Praise God. Let's stand today. As we come to the point of understanding in the Word of God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with God's Word? Are we going to agree according to thy Word? Lord, let your mercy and salvation come to me. Or I think I'll wait. I think I'll consider it. I'm not ready yet. Now, this is a ridiculous illustration, but bear with me. If I had $100, oh, let's get extravagant. If I had $1,000, if I had $10,000 stacked up right here, I said, anybody that wants, come and grab some. I don't think there would be a, I'll think about it. Not today. Maybe sometime in the future. No, I hope there would be sensible enough people to come and grab a handful and go out and have a good, happy meal or something. And that the Lord is offering so much more. Mercy, salvation, goodness, compassion, power, blessing. And the list goes on and on because his word is forever. No sense in delay. No sense in holding back. No sense in putting it off. Praise God. And those of you who have already experienced it, you know there's more. Old things continue to pass away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Hallelujah. And that blessing and experience is what we receive. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. So we come to the place and the point of this service where I say, if that's what you want, if that's what you desire, if that's what you're focusing on, go ahead and come to the front and let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. Let's desire His presence even more. Amen. And thank God, as we're coming and as we're saying, with our steps, with our action, with our hearts, God, I want You. God, I need You. God, I don't want to live without You. I want Your mercies. I want Your salvation. I want Your goodness. And when we say that from the depths of our heart, I'm thankful that we can put our trust in Him. Amen. And know that He desires to minister. He desires to minister. Can we put our focus on Him right now? We thank God for everybody who is here. But now, just let it be you and God. Just let it be your focus on the Lord. And let your prayer be, Lord, according to Your word, be it unto me. According to Your word, bring Your mercy to me, Lord. According to Your word, bring Your salvation to me, Lord. Praise God. Let's just close our eyes. And let's put it in our minds, the hands of a merciful Savior reaching out to us this morning, reaching out to us to help us, to strengthen us, to bless us, to save us. Praise God. And let's just talk to Him right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, let Your power, Lord God, be in evidence in our lives and in our hearts now. Thank You that we can trust Your word. Thank You that we can believe.